Our reading is from Matthew chapter 27, verse 37. Matthew 27, verse 37. Above his head, the soldiers placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Well, when some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge, and he filled it with wine vinegar, and he put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone, and let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. Well, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection, and they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and they exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God."
Thank you very much, David. Well, as we come to look at God's word this morning, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come to look at your word, to look at the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, we pray that you would open our eyes to the wonder that it is that Jesus Christ died for us. And may we go out from here praising you for your amazing gift of new life in him. Amen. The ultimate sacrifice. That's what this plaque in Lincoln says about the Beatty family's sacrifice in World War I. It says that the Beatty boys made the ultimate sacrifice for their country. That's what history says. Well, let's take a look together at the story, and we're going to see if we agree. This is a photo here of the family. The Beatty family. They lost their father, a vicar, in 1912, leaving behind his wife, Amy, and their 14 children, 8 boys and 6 girls. Does anyone here have 14 children? Was anyone one of 14 children? I thought 2 children was hard work. I can't imagine having 14 children. Well, when World War I broke out All 8 boys enlisted to serve their country in the war effort. But it was in September 1915 that for the first time their mother, Amy Beachy, would have to read those awful words, "It's my painful duty to inform you." Written on the telegram she received from the War Office, her son, Barnard Beachy, had been killed in action in the Battle of Loos in September 1915. The next letter would come in November 1916. Frank had volunteered to crawl out into no man's land to fix a phone line to help the trenches communicate between each other, but he was soon hit and died. Frank Beachy died in November 1916. Well, next, third to be lost, was Harold. Harold Beachy, having spent a cold winter in French trenches, in April 1917, he was hit by a shell and he died instantly. Next was Charles. Charles was a school teacher, and when he heard about his brother's death, he wrote a letter to his mother saying, "I do not think many families have done more for the country than we have." But in October 1917, he himself became the 4th Beachy son to be killed in action. The 5th and final Beachy son to die was Leonard. After learning of the death of Charles, he wrote to his mother saying, "It is very difficult for me to realize he is gone. Each one seems a harder blow than the previous one. I wish I could see you." But he never did. Shortly after that letter, he was killed in Rouen, gassed, and passed away in December 1917. Each time the postman called, Amy hoped for good news, but more than anything, she feared the message that began, "It is my painful duty to inform you." The sacrifice of this one family for their country was incredibly great. 5 children gave their lives for their families, for those they loved, for their country. A mother gave 5 of her children for the war effort. It truly was an incredible sacrifice. To give your lives for those you love, to fight and die to bring peace, freedom for those that you care most about. A mother giving her children for the good of others. Sacrificing 5 sons for the sake of the country. The world says that's love, that's the ultimate sacrifice. But Mrs. Beachy wasn't so sure. After the war, she was invited to come before King George V and Queen Mary. And upon meeting the Queen thanked her for her immense sacrifice. But Mrs. Beachy's response was blunt. She replied, "It was no sacrifice, ma'am. I did not give them willingly. It was no sacrifice, ma'am. I did not give them willingly." You see, Mrs. Beachy had no intention of losing her sons. And she certainly didn't give them willingly to die. As is always the case in war, death was a cruel tragedy, an unwelcome, unwanted consequence of warfare. And you only have to read the sons' letters to see that they had every intention and desire of coming home too. In one of his letters, her son Charles, who loved nature, said this. He said, "The butterflies here are most beautiful and varied. I hope I shall be able to bring a few of the best home to show you." His hope was to come back to his mother. You see, very rarely will someone go to their own death willingly. We read that in Romans 5 earlier, didn't we? Romans 5, it says, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, And though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. You see, there are a few stories, aren't there, of people in war doing that. And they become famous because they are so rare. People giving their lives to save the lives of fellow soldiers or civilians, choosing to die for those that they love or those that they care about. It is an incredibly big sacrifice, isn't it? To give your life willingly for someone else. But they are rare. And yet, in contrast to that, Romans 5 tells us that Jesus' sacrifice is even greater. It's unbelievable. Look at these words again. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, occasionally someone might give their life for someone good or for someone who deserves it, someone they love. But God demonstrates his love for us in this, in coming in the person of Jesus and dying not for good people, but for sinners. You see, Jesus came and died for people who had rejected him. The Bible says that's what sin is, isn't it? It's turning our backs on God. And it's saying to him with our words and our actions that we don't want him in our lives. We want to be in charge. And naturally, we don't want Jesus, God's King, to rule over us. We see man's natural response to God when we look at the life of Jesus, don't we? When God came down to earth in the person of Jesus, did you hear how they treated him from our Bible reading of Matthew 27. Just look at a few of those verses. Matthew 27, verse 36. Those who passed by hurled insults at him. Verse 41, in the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. Verse 44, in the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. And as David said, all of this was taking place after they'd already nailed him on a cross to kill him. You see, God came down and sinful man showed their hearts. Hearts that wanted rid of God, rid of his King. And if Jesus had come today, then that's exactly the same response he would get. And the Bible says that we naturally want God off the scene. That's what my sinful heart wants. And the Bible says yours does too. And that sin, that rebellion against God, the Bible says separates us from God. It means that we can't be his friends. We can't know him personally. And yet the incredible news is that that is exactly why Jesus came. Because as sinners who reject God, we're separated from him. That's why Jesus came. And we're going to sing a song in a minute which has these incredible words. It says, see the King who made the sun and the moon and shining stars. That's Jesus. Let the soldiers hold and nail him down so that he could save us. So that he could save them. You see, if Amy Beachy's sacrifice wasn't willing, well, Jesus's was. See, Jesus wasn't just in the wrong place at the wrong time. He didn't get caught up with the wrong people. It wasn't just that he didn't manage to escape from the Romans. Look at his words here from earlier in Matthew's gospel. From Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. You see, Jesus' plan was always to go to the cross. See, that's exactly why the Father sent him. Jesus made his way to Jerusalem knowing exactly what was waiting for him. Jesus willingly went to the cross. He willingly died the most painful, cruel death. The cross designed to make death as slow as possible. And the Bible says he did it for me. And he did it for you. To save us. Jesus died for us so that we can be friends with God. And did you notice that Jesus didn't only suffer the physical pain of the cross? It says he suffered the unimaginable pain of being separated from his Father in heaven. And did you see what he cried out? Look again at what Jesus cried out in Matthew 27. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He did that because on the cross, Jesus was separated from his Father. Jesus had enjoyed perfect relationship with his Father for all eternity, but at the cross, he was cut off from his Father for us, as he took our sin upon himself, taking the punishment that our rebellion deserves, dying in our place. And he did it for something far more valuable than world peace and human freedom. He did it to bring peace with God. Peace that really counts, so that we can come to God and enjoy relationship with him now and forever. Did you see those amazing words taken from the end of our reading at Matthew 27? It says, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. As we read those words, we should want to cry out, he has done it. As Jesus died, the curtain was torn in two. You see, that curtain in the temple was a physical symbol of the fact that sinful people couldn't come before God and come into his presence. It separated where God dwelt in the Holy of Holies from where the people could be in the rest of the temple. It told the people, because of your sin, you can't come in. And yet, at the very moment Jesus died, the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Message? God has removed the barrier between us and him. Jesus' death has made open the way to God. Through his death, we can be friends with God. Jesus gave his life so that we, sinners who have been rejecting God, can be forgiven, can be friends with God. See, as we read the story of the Beachy Boys sacrifice, we have to say that's an incredibly great sacrifice, don't we? But God's once-for-all sacrifice for sin in the Lord Jesus, well, that has to be the ultimate sacrifice, doesn't it? The King of the whole universe, who created everything, became a man, and he suffered, and he died for me and for you, giving his life willingly on the cross so that we can be friends with God. That has to be the ultimate sacrifice, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Yes. Yes, it does. Well, I've made us a plaque of our own to help us not forget the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made. So I need a volunteer who can come and be very grand and help to unveil my plaque. Who is willing to come to the front and help me. A lot of shaking of heads. Every child is shaking their head. I will do it myself. Oh. The ultimate sacrifice. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There is no greater love than this. No greater sacrifice. You see, the cost of bringing us to God was great. But Jesus paid it with his life. The way to God has been made open in Jesus. We can be friends with God. And the Bible says we can do that by saying sorry for our sin. Saying sorry for rejecting God, for ignoring him, for living for ourselves. And instead we accept Jesus as our Savior and our King. We say thank you to him for dying for us, trusting that through his death, our sins have been forgiven. We do have relationship with God, and now we seek to live for him, trying imperfectly to listen to and to obey his word. You see, we give him the whole of our lives because he gave his life for us. Jesus gave up everything for us, didn't he? He gave up his throne in heaven and his life on earth. How could we not give up everything now to love and follow him? The ultimate sacrifice. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us in Jesus. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that we can come to you. So that we can come into relationship with you now and know the eternal, certain hope of life with you for all eternity. Please help us now to turn from our sin and to make Jesus our Savior and our King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're now going to stand to sing our next song, which reminds us again of what Jesus did for us in heading to Jerusalem so that he could save us, after which we will remain standing for a moment of silence. Let's stand to sing Jerusalem.